Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lizzie Hale is calling us, and she is on her way to jury.
That's hilarious. I was like, come on, she doesn't really have jury duty.
Yeah, she's the best. She's like, no, I'll call. I got it.
I would really love to hear more about the coronavirus and SARS.
Yep.
Why don't we find out what Ms. Hale's got going on here?
Our next guest is a Grammy Award-winning artist and longtime friend of the show whose powerful vocals have made her one of the most recognizable singers in rock and roll. Her name is Lizzie Hale. The band is Hale Storm. Were nominated for their second Grammy earlier this year. And on Memorial Day weekend, they'll join the likes of Five Finger Death Punch, Slipknot, Sting, Papa Roach, Anthrax and more for Rocklahoma 2020 in Pryor, Oklahoma. Please welcome, Hale Storm, lead vocalist and longtime friend of the show, Lizzie Hale.
Really on your way to jury duty?
Absolutely. And believe me, nobody's getting out of this stuff. I'm not quite in full stage attire, but I did kind of put it somewhere in the middle. So I'm hoping maybe like for my first day, they're like, yep, hooligans, get out.
Yeah. I mean, what a distraction. Grammy Award winning multi-platinum recording artist. And you're like, no matter what a distraction. I mean, if I was allowed to be like, I'd like you to stay, but I feel like my client needs a fair shake.
In focus.
Well, you know, what's funny? I thought about all these scenarios, right? Like, because like right now, so we're kind of settled into writer record. So I've been demoing for the past couple of days since we got back from Shiprock. And I'm like, I really would rather do that than sit in the courthouse, you know. But then also I'm like, what if like the guy is like a fan, you know?
Right.
Like, what happened then?
Yeah.
it's all these like strange things. This is my first time ever doing this, so it was it's going to be an adventure.
You never know. I got called for jury duty years ago, and I walked in, and they literally just looked at me and went, not you. And they both agreed, not you. And I was out the door. Whatever it is, whoever they felt like I was either going to identify with or be immediately against, both lawyers were like, not you, you're out. So
I'm hoping that happens to me too, but knowing me, it's probably going to backfire right in my face.
Right.
You look perfect. You look like you're like from an 80s music video. Awesome.
Oh, you'll know it'll be a super fan, the lawyers, and they'll just both want you to hang out the entire time.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be hilarious.
Oh, you.
Good to talk to you again, man.
You too. By the way, I would never get on a cruise ship now with that crazy-ass coronavirus, that Shiprock deal. Oh. Like, I'm not getting anywhere near a closed boat where they may not let me off anymore.
Oh, believe me, we thought about that because we've had this booked for, you know, months. And, it's one of those things where, like, it really is a great experience just with all of these absolute diehard super fans that come to, like, 8 shows in a row. And there was like 4 different groups of people. Like, one of them, it was their 90th Hale Storm show. And then there was the 10th Hale Storm show.
Oh.
And then there was, like, the 70th Hale Storm show. Like, so it was, like, it's a really good experience, but literally when we walk in the boat, they're like, have you been to China? Have you been? I'm like, oh,
yeah.
No, there's so much.
Yeah, and we don't have any plan on going anywhere near it for the next couple years.
We're not going anywhere near it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's crazy, though, because people don't think about the fact when you guys are out on the road, you're in such constant contact with fans who are touching you, and that's all wonderful, unless somebody's sick. And you think about the just life on the road and how you ever stay healthy at all when you are nonstop barraged. I mean, you think about a concert. Everybody's singing. Everybody's exhaling their air onto you while they sing along with you.
And then inside the boat, there's a casino with that everyone's allowed to smoke in, too.
Oof.
So my MO is always, like, I want to immerse myself in people. I'm not a recluse. I don't like staying. I don't like cabin fever. So here's how the arc of the ship experience went. So, like, we opened up the show and closed it. So the first day, we're, you know, setting sail, you know, almost did a six song. Did not do that. Even for me, that was a little cheesy. But, you know, so it's a great show, without a hitch, you know, I'm singing my butt off, and it's great. And like, the next, like, 3-4 days, we have off, but, like, we're just, like, literally, like, every 10 feet, like, I'm in, like, permanent selfie mode. This is just awesome. Just, like, literally just everything that I'm doing, you're hanging out with fans.
Right.
So then, like, great, you know, we stop in Cosmo, you know, we have tequila, come back, whatever. So the very last day, the day of our last show, I woke up and I had like a chest cold. And I haven't had a cold, Johnny, in like 2 years. I've been very good at this stuff. I'm like, oh no, oh. I got to sing tonight. So like, look, you know, did a great show, whatever. It was maybe a little bit more on the Janis Joplin side than I wanted. Mm. But you know, then we get off the boat, right? And like end of the trip, and we are all just completely like spent, like exhausted. It's amazing what spending 5 days on a ship, you know, that's literally just, you know, party all the time.
Yeah.
That'll do to you. But yeah, you don't realize how many hands you shake, and you don't realize how many, you know.
Well, you
strange things you come in contact with.
You guys, and this is the upside of it, of that constant contact, is like when you see these photographs, we talked about it. It's you've got that great photographer. She travels with you, and she is so good about getting these looks of especially young girls and fans in the audience who are their signs, and they've seen so many shows in a row, and they're living vicariously through you, and you represent a power and a strength to them that is so clear in their eyes. Like, it's probably my favorite photograph. When I look through other stuff on Instagram or Facebook, I'm like, look at these people, look at the joy in their eyes, especially the younger girls who are genuinely realizing they don't just have to want to, you know, worship the rock star on the stage as some male. Like, they can imagine themselves being that person now.
Oh, absolutely. And there were so many kids on the boat too. And it was just so neat to see a lot of people and a lot of parents that bringing their little girls, and they were there to see us. And you know, I realize that, like, look, you know, I'm a dork from Pennsylvania. I'm not cool. But whatever it is that I'm representing is really powerful for these people. And so you feel like, not like weight as a responsibility is in a bad thing, but just this beautiful thing that you're a part of with these girls. Just one moment on the ship, right? So I'm in this question and answer panel with Miles Kennedy and you know, and Chad from Mudvayne, and there's a bunch of other people on the panel. Joe's on there, and Mark Tremonti, and this little girl gets up and she's like, "Hey, I have a question for Lizzie. Will you write me a doctor's note so I can get out of all the boring classes in my fourth grade?" Yeah. Not the ones I want, but the boring classes. So this little one, right? So I lost her after the Q&A because we just got mobbed, and then we had to go do something else. So I ended up writing it anyway. And I'm like, I know I'm going to see her. And lo and behold, she was in like just off to the front and center for the last show. And so I kind of like, in the middle of the show, I had some of the security guys get her, and I handed this note, and she literally started crying.
Oh.
And like, her mom is like, "Oh my gosh!" It, like, I don't think she realized I would remember, but like, that was such a cool little moment, you know. And like, there was so many of those on this boat because it was just such a great opportunity to really just. It wasn't just like a meet and greet, like, "Oh, okay, cool. Like, we got to go to sound check or whatever." We're just literally hanging out and, you know, having some drinks together with everybody and you know, sharing our meals together. And I won and lost at roulette terribly with everybody, and it was a good experience.
Yeah, the gambling is great if you're winning, but woof, when it goes bad on you. And if you chase it, Jesus Christ, can it go bad fast.
Yeah, now I always have like a set amount that I limit myself to, and then I'm like, okay, well, I'm willing to lose all of this, but
right,
but man, when it's going, you're like, yeah.
Oh, you know. Dude, I hit the one time on the way out of Vegas on a slot machine, hit $12,000.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
I literally walked up the street from Mojo was in Detroit. He was with us and Norm, our agent, and they were finishing something up. And I walked up the strip by myself, walked into the new Park MGM, sat down, had $300 in my pocket with I still had 200 of my original money in there. It hits this bonus and then goes to a second, some kind of crazy thing. And they all came over to look me like, did you just scam the machine? Like, there's security guards finally. Because I was in this thing place about 8 seconds before I took them for 12. And then I was terrified. I had money in my pocket. I thought somebody saw me. I'm going to get rocked to the head on my way back to my hotel.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Joe was actually pretty good. He was up like $200 or something like that at the end of it. But he got so far ahead that they had to keep switching the dealer, and there was like a guy there because he's like, "Are you counting cards or something?" You know?
Oh, that's great!
Like, and I'm like, "That's amazing." So, but yeah, he still ended up, not as up as he wanted to be, but he ended up.
Unless you know, he's just going to spend it on another guitar. That's where the money's going. It's just be another guitar.
That is true, and I'm pretty sure that is about to happen anyway. So.
Yeah.
Which is a gamble in itself, but it's more of a guarantee. You know, there might be a song in there. I'm a terrible influence because he's always like, "Should I get it?" I'm like, "Absolutely."
Oh, you're the best.
He's like, "You're not the help. You're not helping."
Hey, did you ever get a pinball machine? You guys ever decide the one you want?
No, we keep literally we go through phases with that. You know, where it's like, "Oh yeah, pinball machine." You know, then usually ends up. We ended up splitting a Mellotron. For Christmas.
Sure.
Because we want to add to our keyboard collection.
Nice.
So, like, well, maybe we wait on the pinball machine. Instruments first.
How many guitars between you two and Joe are in the house?
Oh, Jesus. I don't even know. I lost count a long time ago. In the house, hanging up, probably about 30.
That doesn't count the warehouse, the practice rehearsal.
That doesn't count the warehouse, everything. Yeah, something like that. They're everywhere. We just keep hanging stuff up on the walls because it's just inspiring. Like, ooh, I like that one.
Do you still have your first one that you ever played live with Hailstorm when you were just a kid?
I don't have the very first one. I have the first one. The first guitar I ever bought was a used BC Rich Mockingbird that had like this whole like Taylor system,
sure,
like you know, onto it and all of that, and that one that you know beat up pretty bad. I ended up trading that one in order to add to my then waitress money, among other things that I was trying to save up for a Les Paul custom, used Les Paul custom tobacco burst 91.
Sure,
that was at Guitar Center, just like sitting there. And it had a little bit of damage to it, and so that it was cheaper. But literally, like, I was sitting up, and then finally for Christmas, my mom was like, "You know what? We'll just, like, well, whatever the last few, like, we'll pay for it so you can have the guitar," because it was just forever. But I still have that one. I broke the neck on it twice and had it repaired twice, and it for some reason it sounds better now than it did then. So I still play with that thing.
Yeah, well, there's certain things, like, I you know, in your life that you'll just treasure for your whole life. Like the first time I literally bought a Harley the first year doing morning radio 25 years ago. And it was the same amount I made in a year. I had to go to my boss, go, "I don't even know if you guys are going to be any good." And I made this huge mistake of selling it. And 15 years later, my dear friend Rick Wirth and Chris Guerin, the guys at Wirth Harley, tracked it down via the cops at a VIN number they'd gotten. And I don't even know that and found it and bought it back for me and gave it back to me, completely restored it back to original OEM and handed it to me and said, "This is for you."
Oh, my gosh. That must have been such an emotional moment.
Oh, I cried. I get weepy. I'll go down to the garage and sit on it and literally get choked up thinking about how much that meant to me. That moment in my life, wanting a Harley all of my life and riding motorcycles. But the one that eluded you was this beautiful, that big rumble, that American V-twin, that great American freedom machine.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. What cool friends you have, man. That's family there.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. No doubt. And just by the way, if you're just joining the show, speaking of family, Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm, the point, so I can get to that. I always get so caught up in these great conversations. I forget what we're here for. Rocklahoma. That's happening 22nd to the 24th and prior. I'll definitely be there. I'm really excited about seeing you guys at Rocklahoma this year.
Oh, me too, man. We're going to need it too. Cause that's like really that run. The small smattering of shows is kind of what we have. this year, for the majority of this year, just because we're writing a record. So yeah, we're really we're gonna need a show.
Yeah.
We just rock.
Well, there's so many good bands we're like excited. Anthrax. I'm a huge Anthrax fan and Joey Belladonna fan, because I think he's just one of the sweetest and Scotty and just nice human beings, man.
They're so sweet. And they've always been sweet to us, and you know, because like we, you know, we're a rock band. We can nod to the metal side, but you know, we're not a true metal band. And these guys have always treated us like family, you know. And so I think that's it's a beautiful example of the community.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, new little hot rods like that Dirty Honey band. I'm excited to see them. Five Finger Death Punch, of course.
Oh,
Zoltan.
Awesome.
Oh yeah. Body Count's playing with. You know, if you've ever seen Body Count, I saw them on the very first tour. When he came out and did Ice-T, basically did OG, and then he finished up that with a second band and did another show directly after and headlined as Body Count with cops lining the inside of the bar. And, I mean, you're just waiting to see if they're going to do that song Cop Killer. And, I mean, you're just it was as great and as dangerous a rock and roll show as I've ever seen again.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. I still lose my mind. I know we're still on the radio, but there's a B word in the pit.
yeah. Bill Beach in the pit. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Oh, thank you. You can say that. I wasn't sure. I'm out of touch with what we can say now.
No, I get it. I know.
But everybody's like, there's a bitch in the pit. I'm like, yeah, that's me. Like, I go back to being like 17.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun, too. I just got to sing with Mark from Dirty Honey. Get a load of this, right? So we're at NAMM, the Gibson NAMM Jam. I'm singing and playing my Explorer. We're doing Whole Lot of Love, and I'm singing it with Mark from Dirty Honey, and then like a couple of guys from Cheap Trick are there with Nielsen, Slash and Billy Gibbons, and you know, of course, you know, the illustrious Joe Hottinger from Hailstorm was there. I'm so glad he was able to join me. And also Jared James Nichols, all these dudes. And like, we're lined up and we're singing and playing Whole Lot of Love, which is a one guitar player song. There's like nine guitar players on stage, all playing the same riff. That was one of those moments in time where I'm just like, what is life right now?
Oh.
So yeah, Mark's got a great voice, and I'm excited to see their set.
See, you're like me in the sense that I still get caught up in the moment. All these years, I've never gotten jaded in the sense that I get caught up in rock and roll to the point where, like, you lose yourself, and you can still get there. When I hear people call, like, music product, like, what you're working on, your album, your songs, you're pouring out, somebody goes, well, they're product. I go, see, I already hate you because you call music product. It's not product. It's a goddamn record they've slaved on, and it's good or it's not good. You're going to love it or not, but it represents something, and I still get lost inside of that.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and I'm so glad that, you know, especially with you and I, we're the few, and we're not the few, we're the majority of people that listen to music. You need music. It's not a game. It's not a product to them. There are people in the industry now that aren't musicians and that aren't true fans of rock and roll, that they don't even call it songs anymore. They call them copyrights. You know, and they're talking about numbers instead of what, you know, like what asses in the seats, you know, and it's just it's crazy. So like, people are now numbers, and songs are now copyright.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
In a world that is now becoming the norm, I'm so proud to still feel, you know, these things from people, and still feel these moments, and feel the magic that, you know. Rock stars are still rock stars to me, even though, like, I know a lot of them now, you know? And, like, when everybody was lining in and you know, and Robin Zander came in, oh, hey, Lizzie, and, you know, Nielsen goes, oh, hey, Lizzie, and so I was like, Lizzie, how you doing? I'm like, oh, crazy, they remembered my name, even though, like, we've met a couple times before, but, you know, you never know.
Right, of course. No, I mean, Robin Zander, I mean.
So special to me, you know?
Yeah, no, it's, and it's funny, because Cheap Trick is one of those bands that died. I think very much like a Joan Jett, there's a certain mystique and a love from every musician in the world. When you just go, that's Robin Zander, that's Rick Nielsen. And they wrote some of the greatest rock and roll songs of all time, and he still sings like an angel. Like, his voice, Zander.
He's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, too, because, like, we are both, like, warming up in the same dressing room, right? And so, like, I'm warming up, and then all of a sudden he's like, no! He's like, oh, that'll work. It's fine. Yeah, it works. Of course it does. So, yeah, no, it's just a great, great moment. And I don't know, like, just technically my first concert that I ever was at. Now, granted, I was, like, two, so I don't
right.
all of it. Obviously, was Cheap Trick, and you know, and my dad always brags about that. And then we saw him again when I was able to consciously absorb, you know, what was going on. And they still play, and they still sound exactly the same way. And it's just it's like life goals, man.
Yeah,
I want to be that.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to see it. Like, I'm gonna let you get to jury duty here because I know that you're. Are you yeah. sitting at the courthouse? Are you already at the courthouse sitting there?
No, I'm literally about 10 minutes away in traffic. But that was I did think about that. I'm like, I wonder if I'm just waiting to like my turn. But no, wish me luck and you know, fingers crossed and all that stuff. And I'll let you know how it works out and if I have to commit to the next week or not.
It's so crazy you ended up on jury duty, Lizzie. You you know what? It's another great song. You know what I mean? It's all uptake and output, right? Like, you have to live. Everybody writes these incredible first records. We've talked about this. Like, you're still living. You're still connected. You're still a part of this world. You're not, you know, sequestered inside this little, you know, cage where you cannot, if you can't uptake information, you can't output it. Like, what are you going to write about if you're not authentic?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I'm not the type of person that will ever want to live in a bubble and you know, be surrounded by yes people, and I want to live my life, and however that means, like, just immerse myself in it. Like that's where the magic happens, and you know, that's where you end up, like, you know, sitting somewhere talking to some strange lady, which actually ended up happening a long time ago in Atlanta. We were at this random bar, and this lady, she was like 80 years old. Literally dressed to the nines, like basically dressed like me, but if I was 80.
Right.
And we had this amazing conversation about all the stuff that she went through and living in her car, and all of a sudden, her name is Molly, and I'll never forget that woman. And it's
See?
Still rolling around in my brain. I'm going to have to write a song about her.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't get those experiences unless you just fully immerse yourself in it, whatever that means.
No, that's
so,
your...
Yeah, I'm kind of an... All or nothing girl. So.
Well, and when you go back to like you were talking at the beginning of this conversation about that little girl who wanted you to write a doctor's note to get out of her boring classes, and somebody texted in and made a great point. Can't you just see that girl's mom telling her that Lizzie was probably just busy and it wouldn't be able to happen? Then, bam, life defining moment. You immersed yourself in it.
I didn't realize that angle of it until like both her and her mom were like crying about it, because I think that. Like, that's really something that was, like, a goal of hers. Like, she was probably, I don't know how old she was. Like, I don't know, it's got to be, like, 11 or something like that. And I don't know, like, the way that she had rehearsed the question,
right.
You know, I thought about that later. I'm like, she must have really wanted that from me. And I'm sure her mom was just like, hey, you know what? Yeah, exactly. Like, this is just busy and that it's not going to happen. But, like, you know, you got to pick from her earlier. So, like, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, and so
yeah,
I don't know, just going, like, I don't know, I still go back to that, you know, Dio thing, man. It's like where
yeah.
he would always go above and beyond, and whenever I have the opportunity, believe me, I'm not going to be able to do that for everybody. Things happen,
right.
You know, but it makes my day. So, like, then all of a sudden realize, like, oh, that's great. You just, like, you gave them something that they're going to remember forever.
Oh, yeah,
and,
you acknowledged them. Her,
that's living.
Her hero, this person, absolutely acknowledged. And then, you know, what you think about when you're a kid, you're like, that means she remembered me. That means I was important. That, you know, you
oh, yeah.
validated her in a way that, like, I can tell you, just like with Dio, like, it mattered to me and to this day deeply matters to me.
Oh, dude, absolutely. One more thing, update, right? So when yeah. I was, like, you know, 17 or so, I got to meet Seven Dust, right?
Yeah.
At that NAMM show, like, randomly, like, kind of, like, fell in and they were super nice. Years later, they roll through our town and, you know, we all decided to be brazen and like knock on the door of their butts. They invited us in. First time we're ever on somebody's tour bus. We gave them our demo. So then we're standing like at the Chameleon Club in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, this like small club, and we're watching Seven Dust. And right before they go on, the house music switches and we hear our song that's on our demo. They played one of our songs on our demo right before they went on through the house music. And
I
told the guys this recently. I told, you know, Morgan and LJ about this. I'm like, I hope you know that that made us feel so special and important. And you know those things matter because, you know, whenever we would say, well, you know what, maybe we're crazy for doing this, well, dude, one of our idols, like this great band that has this amazing history, that had the album Home that we ate up and we loved so much, they thought we were important enough to play our demo through the PA system before they went on the show. And so that must mean there's something here. So, I told him, I hope you mean that, I hope you know how much, how important that was. And so, I don't know. It's like all these little things, man, these little moments that make up who you are. You got to hang on to those.
You know? Yeah, you really do. I couldn't agree more. I mean, and LJ's whole family, you know, they're amazing. Last year, his little girl had nominated me for this Kindest Kansas City Award. And so it's at her school, and LJ and Ashley had said, hey, will you come by? And Kingston will be there. And so we go, and it's this beautiful little thing inside a little elementary school. And there's all the kids are sitting down, and then each one of the kids gets to say something, and you go stand next to your person. And then there's a cookie afterwards and this whole bit. And it was just such, and I'm looking at LJ and his wife and these kids, and I'm just so thankful to be included in this little family that
That is awesome.
I'm just so knocked out and moved. And it's funny, LJ was like, I thought there was you were going to get a trophy. And he was super, like, oh, I didn't think, what are you talking about? Literally a few weeks goes by and they had gotten together and made a little Kindest Kansas City and bought one and brought it to my house and gave it to me.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was, they're incredible people.
I'm so proud to be a part of this whole thing, man. And you and just everybody, like everyone we talk to and that we come close to, we're all a part of the same thing in the same way, the same family. And it's just such a beautiful thing, man.
It is. It's rare, man. And I recognize it every day. Listen, I'll see you whichever day you're playing at Rocklahoma. I know that they're still up in the air, but they're not telling anybody the exact times of everybody. But I'll be there all 3 days. So I'll see you at Rocklahoma for sure. Let me know what happens with your jury duty.
Thank you so much. I'm pulling in right now. So perfect timing.
You are the best. The beautiful, the legend. Lizzie Hale.
You're awesome, guys. Thanks for having me.
Love you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.